everyone. I have no relationships to disclose, and all the photos used are my own except for noted. Okay, so what we're really going to be focusing on today is the background of our work, the significance of it, some of the interesting results initially that we found after our analysis, and our long-term goal. Oral facial clefts are among the most common birth defects in the world. So in the U.S., we might find a prevalence rate of about 1 in 1,000. Worldwide, it's about 1 in 700. But in certain areas and certain countries, it could be as prevalent as 1 in 500 or 1 in 300. And what's sort of interesting here, this graph got a little distorted from MacPC issues, but this is supposed to be sort of an environmental and half genetic component. So what we think is that clefts falls in between, where it's not so based on genetics, where say trisomy 21, there's Down syndrome, or folic acid is able to prevent some major birth defects. So cleft sort of falls in the middle, and so we're really interested in the etiology. And what we do is we do a case control study. We recruit cases in conjunction with Operation Smile. They conduct free surgical missions for children with cleft palates in about over 60 different countries in the world. And so what we do is we recruit families during these missions with mom and dad and baby. We look at saliva for the genetic analysis, and we look at maternal and paternal questionnaires. So I'm going to be talking about the questionnaires today. And we match these cases with our controls, and these are newborn babies who do not have clefts or other genetic conditions, located in the same country, in the same city where these surgical missions are occurring. So we match the best that we can. And what I'm going to be talking about today is our focus of our seven different countries. Two different countries. One is the Democratic Republic of Congo, and the second is the Philippines. So why these countries? First, it's logistics. If we have local great partners, we will work with them to conduct research. But if there's no interest in the countries we solicit, then we don't actually go into them. DRC, it's based in Western Africa, and it's very relevant today with sort of what is going on with Ebola. And very low socioeconomic status. But in terms of cleft, there's actually a lower prevalence rate of children with cleft, and that might have a genetic component. Whereas in the Philippines, there's an island. We focused on Bacolod for this analysis, but there's a much higher, maybe about 1 in 300, 1 in 500, depending on the region, based on other studies. So we find this very interesting. We obtain ethical approvals locally when there are IRBs or ethics committees, and we take verbal and or written informed consent depending on literacy rates within the area. And what we're looking at today is an analysis of our maternal questionnaire variables in these two countries. We're interested in the residency, in exposures during pregnancy, and drinking water source also during pregnancy. What we use is a French-based questionnaire where our local translators speak Lingala, which is the local language, and French. And then in the Philippines, English, and then the local language, which would either be Tagalog or Ilonggo in this case. And so this is our specific questionnaire item that we use. It's sort of broad, and there's a lot of room for interpretation, as you can see. But in both countries, in our initial analysis, with just a very small sort of case control population, we found that there are higher proportions of case mothers living in rural areas and higher proportions of control mothers living in urban areas during their pregnancy. So that's to be taken with a grain of salt. I'll go over our limitations later on. We also asked about these different exposures during pregnancy. So these are like two of the items, industrial chemicals and x-rays. And then we asked a whole host of others. So in this initial analysis, where I should mention we do use a 95% significance level, and our statistician is actually in the crowd there, and she uses SAS. Compare our cases to controls, we do find a significant p-value. Our sample size is very small, so as you can see that here. When we run a regression analysis, we do find with an adjusted odds ratio, which is adjusted for gender, mother age at birth, mother's education level, employment, so socioeconomic factors, just to be sure, we still have a 7 times odds, higher odds of developing a child with a cleft amongst our cases versus our controls. And then our last item that we're exploring today is drinking water source during pregnancy. So these are the questionnaire items, which we sort of change from time to time, depending on lake and stream. That was sort of a newer variable that we added. And we find that here, more case mothers are reporting drinking from the well. So this might actually have a lot to do with sort of reporting rural residency status, if that makes sense. And then city or control mothers really report public drinking water. So with that disclaimer and taking it with a grain of salt, we find that public water is slightly protective with our adjusted odds ratio at 0.37. So that might have something to do with more of our sampling. And this is where I'm talking about the limitations. Our questionnaire was subject to recall bias, depending on what certain women will remember and what they will recall. We try to sample so that their most recent pregnancy is the child with the cleft or the newborn, so there's no other pregnancy in between, but we still have bias in that regard. And we have quite a small sample size, which we're actually addressing by continuing collections in these different cities and building capacity with our local researchers. So even since then, we've collected about 1,000 more individuals in the Philippines alone, and we've had, I think, one more collection in DRC, but we're a little behind on our data entry and analysis. Also, this is a hospital-based study. So our cases are Operation Smile patients. That might introduce some bias in some sort of way. And then our controls are in this maternity ward. So this is probably the best that we can come as far as matching, but there is some difference in that, and that might explain a bit of the rural, urban, and also the drinking water source. I would say like our study is very unique in that we combine this nonprofit and this academic mission and vision, and we really want to contribute as much information, not just scientifically, not just to publish papers, but really, as you can see this photo here, paternal factors. We have a paternal questionnaire, which we're still ramping up on sample size, and we're not quite there, but fathers do play a role in the development of birth defects, and that's sort of understudied, especially in low and middle income countries. And then also the environment. How that plays a role. We would need to have a lot more specifics on what are industrial chemicals. We don't quite ask what the exposure time is. We don't take biological samples, but this is somewhere that we're very interested in exploring. And most recently, we published a paper based on our genetic work, based on these saliva samples. And this is a fine mapping example. And so that recently came out in, I think, July or August. So just in summary, we found interesting differences between cases and controls in both the DRC and the Philippines. And maybe factors such as pregnancy variables like residency, exposures, and drinking water, they could have an association with cleft or maybe other birth defects. It really has to come with a grain of salt. We can't say these are strong associations and definitely no causations until we can really ramp up our sample size and look at other interconnected variables. But we really hope to inform either policy, create interventions around this type of work. Also, I'd like to acknowledge all of the, a lot of individuals that helped make this happen throughout all these different countries, especially in DRC and in the Philippines. And this is just a photo of where after we go in country and we sort of establish and train human subjects on how to carry out the research, we entrust our locals. So Dr. Pacific Nunda is our local contact, and this is just myself showing them how to prepare saliva samples for international shipping, and so that's done over Skype.